I am here with my fellow servant, fellow slave, co-laborer, trench mate, Dan Sheridan. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Are you feeling that infirmity?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit of the infirmity, but, you know, I got 1 foot in the trench, but I got my, who's that guy that used to say, keep your feet on the ground, but your hands reaching for the stars? Was that Casey Kasem at the end of his top 40? Keep your feet on the ground and your hands reaching for the stars.
You know, I just noticed infirmity. That's a good concordant word, because don't they call a place where people are sick the infirmary?
Infirmary. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Earth is one big. Our Earth is one big infirmary.
Yeah, the Earth is a big infirmary. That's you know what? That's what margins of your scriptures are for, to write that kind of fun stuff down.
Yeah, write this down too. See also Nuthouse.
Nuthouse. Oh man. Oh,
I think we're the only sane people on this Earth. Sometimes I feel like. You're like the only sane guy on this Earth. But I think you're sane, too. I think that anybody listening to us who is seeing these things, you know, folks, everything is upside down and backwards in this life. You're feeling like you're crazy. And maybe some of your friends, your family, are telling you you're crazy because you march to the beat of a different drummer. You're hearing these truths. You're so out of step with mainstream everything. But you're not crazy. You're the only sane person in the room. And when the truth finally comes down and Christ returns, everything's going to be reversed. The people who think you're nuts are the actual nuts. You're the only
sane one.
Love that
truth.
That's
true.
Love
it. You know,
just love it.
Being with God is on his side, and taking his words makes you that way. It's that simple.
It's a everything you're seeing today is a negative image of how things are going to be. The last are going to be first. The infirm are going to be powerful. And those who are powerful now are going to finally realize their infirmity. We realize it now. You know, judgment begins in the house of God, and so on and so forth. That's where we're there now. Other people will be there later. I'd rather get it over with, right? Whenever there was a report to be had at school, you had to give an oral report, I wanted to go first. You know, you didn't want to be the last guy to give the speech. You have to sweat it out. You can't enjoy anything. You get that sucker over with, and then you can enjoy watching everybody else screw up.
Hmm.
I'm glad about that.
There you go. Well, we're talking, you know, we've been talking about the nature of man and the vivification that's coming. And I think today we ought to get into the specific expectation of the body of Christ, because we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul leads us on to that. We talked about the various resurrections in the past. In resurrection, there's going to be various glories, various differences, or what's the word we're looking for? Differences or
I'm just going to let you try to find it. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to exercise you.
There are different levels of glory.
But the reason I said that is because I couldn't think of a word either.
Okay, different levels of glory. And we, as members of the body of Christ, are given a resurrection body suitable to the place that God is going to bring us. The saints that are going to be in the earth are going to have bodies suitable to that sphere. And
Go ahead.
And those of us who are in the body of Christ are going to have bodies suitable to the celestial realms.
That's true. And I think that's a pretty basic division, that there's going to be terrestrial bodies. The Israel saints, their bodies are going to be changed to accord with the Lord's body when he was on earth. And our bodies are going to be changed in accord with the body that Paul saw on the road to Damascus, which was a glory body.
But now
it's interesting, you get into subdivisions. It's like you open that folder. You have the folder on the left of the circumcision saints, body like the Lord's body on earth. Then you have a folder on the right, body of Christ, a celestial body like light blinding more bright than the noonday sun. Then you open that folder, and there are subdivisions. Even within the body of Christ, we will have different bodies, because Paul opens the folder here. He says, not only is there a difference between the celestial and the terrestrial, one glory of there's also a glory of the sun and the moon, and another glory of the stars. So there's a subdivision within the folder of a celestial body, because the moon is a celestial body, and the sun is a celestial body, and the stars are celestial bodies. But now you take the folder of the star and you can open that folder up, and we have subdivisions there, for star is excelling star in glory. And then Paul says, thus also is the resurrection of the dead. So even among body of Christ members, resurrections, there is going to be different glories within that, because we know that some are appointed to rule and reign with Christ. Some are not appointed to that. They're still in the body of Christ, but they're
sure.
not enduring with them. So even within the body, I always found this very interesting.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I think the words used, you know, in Ephesians, Paul talks about the expectation of our calling, and in Philippians, it's the prize of our calling. And so I think in one, you have we all are expecting the same calling, that we have our allotment among the celestials. But in Philippians, those of us who've been given this, it's like God, it's almost like God is saying, I am giving you sinners from among the Gentiles the highest place in my universe. Okay, I'm giving you this.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's awesome. But God says, guess what? I even got more for you if you want.
I know. Oh, my gosh. That is mind-blowing.
I'm going to add to that if you want it. And that has to do with the prize. And, you know, so I've heard some people say, well, I'm just happy with celestial glory. But you know what? If God offers us something even better, why not take it?
You taught me this. You really helped me with this. I remember there was one conference I had in Willard, Ohio, back in the day, and I remember you speaking on this about running to win the prize, and a lot of people stumbled at that. I remember you took some heat for that because, oh, you're saying that we can compete for something. You're saying that some of us can be better than others. No, we're not saying that. Paul is saying that.
Yeah.
He's telling people to compete so as to win the prize. And he's talking about this higher calling. And he's talking, and even here we see it. Star is excelling star in glory.
Now notice the word excelling. You know, Paul was, there is this false humility that is among, I've experienced it among those who have embraced the evangel of grace, where you say the word I, or I'm going to do this. Oh, well, it's not me. It's only God.
Tell me about it.
And they get all sanctimonious and all that other nonsense. But Paul says, I strive, I run. And it's, if you look at Philippians, which is the book of service, you know, the word Philippian means fond of horses. So it has to do with running a race. And throughout Philippians, for instance, in Philippians chapter 1, now this is my opinion, when Paul says for me to be living is Christ, he doesn't say for us. He's speaking for himself. For me to be living is Christ. And then later he says, now you imitate me. And if you look in Philippians, he never includes us when he talks about what he's doing. He says, here's what I'm doing. Now you follow my example. You don't have that language elsewhere. You only have it in the letters where Paul is talking about service. He can't say, in one sense, yes, none of us lives to himself, none of us dies to himself. Whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. But in Philippians, when Paul says, for me, to be living is Christ, and to be dying, gain. Paul is not talking about dying of old age there. He's talking about dying in the service. He's talking about his, in Paul's case, it's literal. It's not a figurative dying here.
Right.
He went to the chopping block. And you and I, we want to say that. We should strive to say that. But we can't really say that unless, you know, we're doing what Paul's doing. But Paul is, and I think in Philippians, and I know we're getting off another topic here, but it's connected. When Paul says, for to you, in Philippians 1, for to you it's been graciously granted, where's that at? Here we go, Philippians 1:29.
Yeah.
For to you it is graciously granted for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, amen, we all believe on him, right? Every member of the body of Christ has been granted by God the ability, the gift of faith, correct?
Yep.
But not only that, but to be suffering for his sake also. That's just as much a gift as faith. But the Philippians is emphasizing this suffering for his sake also part. And that is how a star excels from another star in glory. when they take that on, as it were, when they strive and they press toward the mark for the prize of God's high calling in Christ Jesus. And so that's how I understand when you bring up in your excellent illustration about the subfolders in glory. Well, that's how you get that subfolder, as it were. That's how you get into that excelling glory, is by service.
And not everybody's up to that, and not everybody wants it. As you say, I've heard many people say, look, I'm just happy to know this stuff. You know, I'm going to keep my job at the bowling alley. I'm happy. I'm content. And they just don't want to suffer evil with this gospel. I mean, it is something that God has to place in you to put you on a track that could possibly lead to the chopping block. I mean, you and I have been kicked off of 3 Christian radio stations, and to us it's a badge of honor. To other people, it would be such a stress that they couldn't handle it, you know. A lot of people, they can't handle rejection, and I'll admit, rejection sucks. The radio stations didn't hurt me so bad, but rejection from those intimates, from people close to you, that's the worst pain you can suffer. And if we're on this track of teaching this, and God has put it on our hearts, like Paul says, woe to me if I don't do this. And there are people listening to us who have this heart. They may not be out there publicly like we are on the airwaves right now, but they're pushing the envelope. They're taking this truth to people that they know. They might risk a family relationship. They might risk a friendship, and they're suffering evil from their wives or their husbands or their family. That's the worst suffering and the worst persecution you can endure. But when you're enduring it for the sake of this evangel, it is not for naught. It's been graciously granted you, and you're looking at an excelling star resurrection.
And by the way, what helps us, what gives us the ability to serve, to get to that excelling glory? Remember, I think I mentioned this. I think the whole goal of 1 Corinthians 15 is to get to verse 58. And at the end of this chapter, he says, so that my beloved brethren become settled, unmovable, superabounding in the work of the Lord, always being aware that your toil is not for naught in the Lord. Everything in this chapter is meant to get us to that point. Remember, I think was it last week when we were talking about 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says we're ambitious, we're confident now, even though we're in this temporary abode, as it were, but we're encouraged and ambitious to strive to please the Lord, as the verse says there. And here he gives us our specific calling, and that we are one day, we are going to, right now we're wearing the image of the soilish. Our dress is soilish. And we are going to be wearing the image also of the celestial. That's coming. And Paul goes on in verse 50, now this I am averring, brethren, that flesh and blood is not able to enjoy an allotment in the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is what we are now. That is soulish. That's what we are, flesh and blood. And just a quick side statement, Martin, I'm sure you'll agree with me on this. The term kingdom of God is all-encompassing. It's different than the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of the heaven has to do with Israel's sovereignty over the rest of the nations. Kingdom of God is God's authority no matter where. It covers everything. But flesh and blood is not able to enjoy the allotment in the kingdom of God. That's why we're not there yet. We're not in the kingdom yet.
I knew something was wrong.
Yeah, we're not there.
I knew something was screwy.
Exactly. Neither is corruption enjoying the allotment of incorruption. Lo, a secret to you am I telling. Now, these are one of Paul's great secrets. Here's a secret. Resurrection is no secret. But when Paul talks about it, it's because it's a direct revelation that God gave to Paul regarding something that was unknown.
And we're going to have to get into it tomorrow. And we're going to have to get into it tomorrow.
Man.
I know. I hate to interrupt you. You're on a roll. Here's
how we're going to end today's program.
Shh. You are sweet music to me, Sheridan. I can barely stop you, but I mean,
here's how we're going to end the program. We're really going to make people mad. Ready? Shh, I got to tell you a secret. But I can't tell you till tomorrow. You'll have to listen.
Secret coming tomorrow. You got to be here or you won't hear about it. This is Martin Zender and Dan Sheridan from the celestial headquarters of the terrestrial Earth. See you tomorrow for the secret. Goodbye.